Hey, you guys are out there. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you remembered to turn your clocks forward. Amen. How many saw my Facebook post that said, turn your clocks forward 1 hour? Okay. How many? Raise your hand up high if you did. Well, the rest of you, I commend you that you came without doing that. Amen. All right, hold your Bibles up high. Everyone needs to bring a Bible. I know that you have your tablet or you've got your phone or whatever. All that's fine and good, but I like to, like Pastor says, I like to for you to open your Bible and hear the pages turn. Okay, but you don't have to turn yet, okay? Well, listen, last week was a wonderful, wonderful service. And I want you to know that every service can be every bit as good as that service. You know, when we come to church on Sunday, I mean, there's all kinds of needs in a congregation and even here at Bethel. And God wants to meet all of those needs. He wants to touch your life in areas, whether it be spiritual, physical, financial, emotionally, mentally, whatever it may be. God wants to touch your life in only ways that God can touch you. You know, we can only do so much for ourselves, but what we can't do, I can tell you that God will do for us. And so last week, I kind of felt like that it was a prelude to what I'm going to be sharing this morning. Because there was bodies that were being healed, there were needs that were being met, and no one laid hands on you. Isn't that wonderful? Some people have the idea, well, if pastor doesn't lay hands on me, whoever's up here ministering, well, then it'll never happen to me. No, your faith can see that it happens. So today, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about relationship. Not relationships, but we're going to talk about relationship. That is our relationship with God. And I think last year was like a launching pad for a lot of you that you begin to see and that hunger begin to grow in you how important it is that you have that hunger for God and that relationship will be a very healthy and growing relationship, just like a marriage should be. Amen. When you got married, you told your wife that you loved her. Have you told her since? Amen. Have you done what you need to do as far as your responsibility, the division of labor at home? Have you loved her? And the same for the wife concerning the husband. You know, that's how you build a relationship in your marriage. God, our relationship with God is the most important relationship that we could ever have. And matter of fact, your marriage relationship depends upon a lot concerning what your relationship with God is. Amen. Amen. So our relationship with God should mean everything. There are some factors that are involved in this that I think are extremely important. Now, my notes, there's a lot of notes that are out in the vestibule. I'm not going to get through this. This is a two-part message, and Pastor said I could do the second part next week. So today, I'm not sure how far we're going to get, but I've got some good stuff I want to share with you. Your relationship is more important than with God, is more important than what you could ever imagine. There's more than three factors, but in my notes I say there are three factors that are most important concerning our relationship with God. Those three things would be understanding and knowing that God is a faithful God. How many believe that He's faithful to His promises? See, I'm real simple. If God promised it to me, as far as I'm concerned, it's mine. I mean, I don't doubt it at all. It's mine. So our relationship with God deals with understanding that God is a faithful God to His promises. You say, well, I don't know what His promises are. Okay, we're going to get there this morning. Amen. The second thing is our faith in God. Do we really have faith in God? Is it just words or is it really from the heart? Do we really have faith in God? And the third thing is trust. Can you really trust God? How many would agree with me it's hard to trust someone that you don't know? Now you may say, well, I know there's a God. I know I gave my heart and my life to Jesus, but do you really know God? That's going to be the essence of my message today, because there's no way in the world that you can trust God or you can have faith in God and His promises if you don't know what they are. Three factors: faithfulness, faith in God, and to trust God. You know, it's so easy. Come here, Steve. Let me give you an illustration. I see this all the time. And listen, I've been guilty of it as well. Okay, Stephen has just come to me and said, boy, Pastor, I'm going through all kinds of difficulty. This is happening and that's happening. I've got financial needs and I've got spiritual needs. I've got physical needs and whatever. And so he shares all this with me. I'm insincerity. He shares it with me. So here's what I do. God bless you, Stephen. Just have faith in God. Trust Him. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, I'm through. Now, to a lot of people, that will absolutely mean nothing. It is so easy to do that. Now, don't look so innocent out there. You've done the very same thing. Well, we're just going to have to trust God. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have faith in God. I mean, all of that is commendable. We're really telling the truth, but we don't understand where that person is at. Listen, it's easy to say, but there's more to it than just that. It's very hard for me to trust someone that I really don't know. I mean, they may say, well, listen, I'm a trustworthy person. They can say whatever they want, but until I get to know them, I don't know how trustworthy they are. And I can't have faith in what they say until what? Until I create a relationship with them. I think you'd agree with me that it's hard to trust someone that you don't know. When you know Him, everything is different. When you don't know God that well, when you don't know His Word, when you don't know what His promises are, when you don't know that He's a faithful God, it becomes very easy for us to distrust God. Now, I've heard it over and over again. 48 years of pastoring, I've heard it over and over again. Well, it seems like God meets everyone's need but mine. You ever heard that? Seems like He heals everyone but me. Or He meets everyone's need, but it just seems like He doesn't meet my need. What kind of relationship do you have with God? You know, God did something very big in my life right after I started pastoring, and that was when He healed me of a heart condition, and I was told that I was going to have to leave the ministry. That was such a big thing in my life that brought me so close to God in relationship that I don't believe that I've ever lost that relationship. It is so powerful to know that God loved me that much. Listen, if God called you to do something, He doesn't want you to die in the pulpit doing it. Amen. Well, what kind of a testimony would that be? And so I learned what relationship was all about, how important relationship is. And I want you to know, I got in my Bible. I'd only been in pastoring for about, this was probably around 1974. So I was probably in the ministry about 2 years. At least 2 years. I got my Bible out. Of course, I was studying all the time anyway. I looked up all the scriptures I could look up on healing. Everything I could find. What does God's Word say in the Old Testament in relationship to the New Testament as well? Every scripture. So when I'd get up in the mornings, no matter how I felt, I read the Word of God till I memorized those scriptures. Really just got down deep in my heart. And so every morning, that's been my routine for basically 40 some years, is just getting up in the morning, and the first thing I say is not, oh, I feel so bad today. No, I get up and start saying about myself what the Word of God says about me. That's how powerful the Word is. But the Word of God, as you get into it, will begin to create a relationship to where you know God. You know God, you know His promises, you know what God has said. If God's promised it, I came to the place. If God said it, then I believe it. And that's a part of faith. The faith part of believing is acting on what you believe. And there were other incidents in my life and whatever. And of course, you know the story. I went to a cardiologist after that. He checked me in every way he could. He had the electrocardiogram that they had taken the time before. He said, I don't know what they found, but I can't find anything. Well, you think I wasn't shouting whenever I left that place? I went out and got in the car and had heart pain. And the devil said, the doctor made a mistake. I said, you lying devil. And I've said that 1,000 times since with concerning other things. You lying devil, I have been healed. I've been made whole in the name of Jesus. And here's the thing. When that relationship begins to grow, it grows because of the time that you've spent in the Word. Seeking God first, prayer, meditation of God's Word. Whenever that becomes such a major part of your life. You know, we often base our faith on what other people have said. Listen, I've been to the hospitals hundreds of times, and someone that's there, and maybe it's not a life and death situation, but some family members look at it that way. And then I'm out in the waiting room, you know, during the surgery and talking to them, and they're saying, you know, I had an uncle had that same thing that he's being operated on, and he died. I thought, well, I'm in the wrong place. I don't want to hear that kind of negative talk, whatever. Instead, I want to speak the promises of God, and I want to know that God is faithful, and God's Word says that He is. The point I want to get across to you is that God is a faithful God. But how can you embrace that without a relationship that you know the promises of God? Listen, all this stuff that's happening in the world today, I know Pastor Keith and I, we've talked about it. I did in my class this morning. I'm at the coronavirus. That thing has, listen, if it comes down my street, it's got to keep going. I pleaded the blood over my family, my life, my house. And matter of fact, I don't even think about that. You turn the news on, that's all you're thinking about. Amen. And what does that bring? It brings fear to the heart of an end. How can you operate in faith when you've got fear? But when you have a relationship with God, you don't even think sickness. Matter of fact, the end of this service, we're going to have a time where everyone can come down, and we're going to bind the forces of evil that may be coming against you, your house, your family, your life. Listen, I'm sick and tired of all that Satan is trying to do to the body of Christ, and it just seems like we just sign for it. Amen. I'm not going to sign for it. If UPS brought you a bomb and they said, here's a bomb, just sign for it. Would you sign for it? I'd say, no, you get that thing and you get out of here. But often we just sign for it. Well, I mean, everyone gets sick every once in a while and whatever. This happens. There's lots of needs that we have at times, but we got to learn to trust God. But you can't trust God when you don't know what God's Word says about what God is to us. The relationship is everything. So we base everything often on the opinions of people, what they've experienced, what they've gone through and whatever. We base it on what teaching that they have. Well, matter of fact, I could even say it this way. Just stop and think about what you have been taught concerning faith, concerning healing, concerning prosperity, concerning your needs being met, temptation, trials, the promise of God, salvation, the new birth, righteousness. What have you been taught in all these areas? If you haven't been taught what lines up with the Word of God, I'm telling you, you're not going to live the life that God wants you to live. That's the reason why relationship with God is so important. It's important. I admonish you to get into the Word of God. Well, I'm just too tired. I don't care. Get into it anyway. We're all tired. I mean, you can get up tired and go to bed tired. But I'll tell you what, you start getting the Word of God in you and you'll get rejuvenated. I promise you that. I can't go through these scriptures that I go through on Sunday morning that I don't get happy. Now, you don't see me, you know, like Pastor Jeff, he kicks. I can't kick quite as high as he can. And that's all fine and good. But that's what I feel at home. Because if I fell at home, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't see me. But if I kicked very high here, you're going to say, uh-oh, he broke his hip. No, I'm just telling you, I get excited. I can't start quoting the Word of God without the anointing rising up within me that'll drive sickness, disease, poverty, all of these things that come against you, and they come against everyone. Every one of you here today, these are things that we all face. So the strength of our relationship with God is based on how well we know God. I've said lots of times, and I want to say it again. Pastor Jeff and Pastor Keith, they know that some of my favorite subjects is teaching on faith, on healing, prosperity, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God. Those are some of my favorite subjects. And because they mean so much to us, that's life to us. Amen? And so I like to preach on those things. I like to share those things because it can bring life to you as well. And so whenever I have an opportunity to share, I've always got to put these things in. You know, my wife and I, we went through a lot of financial things in our life, you know, from the time that we were married. She was working for Bell Telephone. I was in college at that time. Well, we got married my third year of college, but I was at Oklahoma State at that time, and then came back here and commuted for the rest of that year, and then I was able, because of the classes that I was going to be taking, I could go to the OSU that was here on 10th Street, and I could finish some of my calculus, strength of material, statics, and all those harder classes and whatever. And so, you know, we lived very frugal from the standpoint that we wasn't going to sizzling sirloin and eating or whatever was out there at that time or whatever. I'm just saying that we had to be very frugal and whatever. But I can tell you this, we never stopped sowing seed. Never stopped. God just kept blessing us. Whenever I graduated, I went to work for an architect because I thought I wanted to do commercial work. But after a year, I realized commercial work wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to do more. Although I did quite a few commercial buildings and a parking car garage and whatever for the architect that I was working with. But I thought I want to get in something I would enjoy, which was apartments and houses and things of that nature. And I was working for a company that had, I think at that time they had three draftsmen. And whenever I went, there was either three or I was the third one. And I was making less money than all of them. And Margaret and I, we never failed to pay our tithes. We never failed to sow seed because we understood the promises of God. And so we sowed seed. Now listen to me, this is the truth. In less than 6 months, I was making more than anyone that was there. That's what God will do. You can't operate in fear. The Bible says that Satan is the one that's given us the spirit of fear, but Jesus has come that we could have life and have it more abundantly. The devil is a thief. He wants to steal from you, and he will any way that he possibly can. God's not given us the spirit of fear. But of what? Of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen. Do you look at yourself as having a sound mind? People say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Listen, I can't afford to do that. Amen. Some of you have given too many pieces away already. He's given us a sound mind. Amen. And whenever we pray, now listen, here's something that's important. As we're extending our faith out there and we're praying and whatever, if you're really operating in fear, if you're really operating in faith, after you've prayed, I can tell you how you know that you're operating in faith. This is how you'll know. You'll go to bed, go to sleep. You'll not worry about it. You'll not fret about it. If you're worrying and fretting about it and whatever, that's not faith. Amen. And often we equate that as just being a part of trying to believe God. No, when you give it to God, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. Do you believe that God can do more with your problems than what you can? Absolutely. Now there'll be a part you'll have to do, but you do your part and God will do for you what you can't do. And so I want you to become, I'm challenging you, and at the end of the service, I'm going to ask those that come down that really want to seek God, they want to get in His Word, they want to pray more. I mean, a lot of that I saw last week in the hunger of those that came down. I don't know how much time we have here on earth, but I can tell you this, we're alive right now. We have every opportunity to spend time with God, to seek God, to seek Him first. Matter of fact, in Matthew 6, 33, one of my favorite, matter of fact, let's turn there. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And rather than just quoting verse 33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What is he talking about, all these things? Everything that pertains to life he's talking about. Look at verse, let's start to see in the sixth chapter. Let's start with verse 25. It says, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Well, if that would happen, Margaret would, my wife would, she'd be praying every day, Lord, I just need another half inch, you know, another foot, anything would. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Now that's a good statement. O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Now here's what he says. The bottom line is this. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now listen to it. He said, seek first. Seek what first? The kingdom of God. Seek God first and His righteousness. And he said, all these things, everything that's been mentioned here, shall be added unto you. The mistake we make is that we fail to seek God first. Why do we fail to seek God first? We do that because we don't know God the way we should know God. When you know God, you know God. I mean, He's your Father. He's going to take care of you. When you get up in the morning, you need to know that. Yes, you need to go to work. Yes, you need to do the things that you need to do and whatever. But what you can't do is what God will do for you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He doesn't stop here. He says, and His righteousness, that is, remain in right standing with God. Listen, there needs to be a hunger growing each and every one of us for more of God. Amen. Amen. When you get up in the morning, you ought to have a desire to have more of God. God, I want more of you. Amen. That ought to be our attitude. God, I want more of you. I want more understanding of your word. And listen, you can't read the word once or twice a month and then expect to have an understanding. Listen, what I give or what Pastor Jeff gives you on Sunday morning is not enough for you to live on. How many is going to go out and eat today? Well, how many is going to eat today? Are you fasting? All of us will probably eat, but after you eat today, if I said, okay, you can't eat anymore, don't eat anymore the rest of the week, what would happen to you? Blow away. It'd take a while for some of us would ever blow away, I can tell you that. No, you're going to lose your strength. I mean, unless you're in a fast. I'm talking about just every day. I mean, we eat to sustain life. But we get weak whenever we don't eat. Amen? And so if you just eat once a week, and there are some people, they just read their Bible maybe once a week, and then they expect to be strong. No, you're going to have to get in God's Word. And the more you get into God's Word, you read it, you study it, you pray over it, you meditate on it, that Word will get down on the inside of you. So whenever you see someone that's sick and afflicted, it won't be like, well, why don't you go to the doctor? No, instead you're going to lay hands on them. Amen. Say, could I lay hands? Can I pray for you? Amen. It's a whole lot cheaper than going to the doctor, I can tell you that. Amen. Plead the blood over your home. Amen. I don't go out and kill something and mark the doorpost and I mean, Jesus has already paid the ultimate price, folks. Begin to stand upon the Word of God. If God said it, I want you to believe it. When God said it to me, it was just as clear as it could be. And whenever I read the Word of God, listen, you're never going to exhaust the Word of God as far as your knowledge of God's Word. Every time I read, I think, well, I missed that. I didn't even see that because I was focused on maybe something else that was in that scripture. But you got to get the Word in you. The Word of God is what? Hebrews, is it 4:12? The Word of God is quick. That's an old English word that means alive. The Word of God is alive. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. Now I'm telling you, right now I could start quoting scriptures that I use in the mornings and I could get happy just that quick. Because that's what the Word of God will do to you. It'll heal your body. Amen? Whenever, if sickness comes against you, get the Word of God out and begin to read it. And meditate on it and whatever. It'll run sickness from your life. It'll run poverty from your life. You're looking at me like this could never happen. That's the way God wants us to live. Amen? And it works, folks. I know you think I'm crazy. I don't get to preach as much as I did, so I got to make every time I preach count, you know. I'm just telling you it works. Listen to this. Here's what John 15, 4 and 5 says. It says, abide in me, Jesus is speaking, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus is the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Absolutely nothing. We've got to abide in him. Amen? And he wants to abide in us. As long as we're attached to that vine, we got life in us, folks. It's powerful. Look what the Apostle Paul said. Philippians 3:6. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him. Speaking of God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Who was it that raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father did, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that I may know him. I want to know him, folks. I want to know him better than I've ever known him before. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. You ever thought how much power it takes to resurrect someone? You don't have the power to do it within yourself. But God can do it. He did it with Lazarus. I think I preached a message one time whenever the little woman, her son had died. I think they were passing through Nahum or somewheres along in there, and they were having the funeral. And Jesus comes up and interrupts the funeral and raises the lad from the dead. That's power, folks. There's times that we need resurrection power, spiritually speaking, that we need to be resurrected, folks. I mean, we come and it's like a humdrum type situation. We ought to be the most excited people on the face of the earth. We really should. And so when we come to church, I mean, this ought to be an exciting time. They said, oh, Pastor, he's going to be disappointed in me if I don't come to church. You shouldn't even feel that way. You ought to want to come. Yeah, I'll be disappointed, but I'm not going to get on to you. I'm just going to pray the wrath of God comes down on you. I was holding a revival in Tuttle, Oklahoma. It's been years ago. And this person was asking me to pray for someone. And as I was praying, because he looked at me real strange, I said, God, just shake this man over hell. And man, he's looking at me like, well, I don't want to pray for him that kind of a prayer, that strong and whatever. And so I thought, well, maybe I just need to tweak it a little bit. So I started praying, God, just bring him under conviction. Bring him to a place of decision. But I thought, boy, if God gets a hold of him and just, you know, because that's the way we think, you know, if we could be God for just a little while, we'd just grab him and we'd just dangle him over hell. Say, how you like that? Is that working for you, huh? They say, you know, I think I need to get saved. Well, that's kind of our approach sometimes, but that, I mean, God just, he loves them into relationship. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now he went on to say, and the fellowship of his suffering. Listen, when you're so in love with God that you're even willing to suffer what Christ suffered, that's love. Amen. And he said, and being made conformable unto his death. Look at Colossians 3:1, and I close with this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. You know, there's not very many prayers that I pray that I don't visualize Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. I mean, I visualize that. An architect visualizes things. We see things before. We see things other people may not see. I don't know, but I visualize that. I just think, Heavenly Father, you're up there, and Jesus, the one that sacrificed everything for us. Whenever you look at the word salvation, we often think it's just the saving of the soul. But have you ever looked at that word? The word salvation means not only the saving of the soul, it means soundness of mind and healing for the body. Why do you think Jesus bore the stripes upon his back? For our healing. He was wounded for our transgression, prophesied hundreds of years before in Isaiah, I think it's 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by stripes ye are healed. But then we go to 1 Peter 2:24, and what does it say? Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, and Jesus did that. But then he goes on to say, and by his stripes you were. Is were past, present, or future? It's past. We're healed. The price has already been paid. Christ has paid the price that you be successful in all the areas of life that God created you to be successful in. Amen? He wants you to be a giant when it comes to spiritual things. He wants all your needs to be met. And when it speaks of prosperity, you know, he would have that we'd prosper. It doesn't mean that you're going to have 10 oil wells and be rich and millions of dollars. That'd be great if you did and you paid tithes here. That would be really great. But it just means he's going to prosper you. He's going to bless you. I mean, stop and think about that. He's going to bless you financially because you're a blessing to him. So spiritually, physically, financially, God wants to bless you beyond anything you could ever imagine. But God's going to have to become more important to you than maybe what he is right now. Now, I can just tell you, this is me. And everyone sitting in this building at different times, we have attacks, don't we? Satan attacked us. You're not human if he doesn't attack you. And I know from last week, whenever people came down and did some real praying and concentrating on God and consecrating their lives and whatever, I knew in my spirit that devil's going to do everything in his power to discourage them. So I was ahead of the game. I took care of it right then. Whenever you know that the enemy is going to come against you, that's the time to put up the full armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Satan comes and says, you're going to get sick. You're probably going to get the coronavirus. I thought Corona was a beer. And I never drank. But I thought, well, what kind of virus is that? Is that drinking too much or what? I didn't know. I know you think I need to hurry and get through with this thing, but you guys need to liven up. But the devil will tell you every lie in the book. So what do I do? Immediately, I'll take 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Other scriptures. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, he said, imaginations. Often a sickness or poverty, it begins with an imagination. I'm probably going to lose my job. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Now I'm probably going to lose my house. And they'll probably come and take my car as well. And maybe my children. That may be a blessing. I don't know. And so all these imaginations. Well, there was times I thought that. I didn't want to lose my house, my car, whatever, but the kids. I thought, you know. Casting down imaginations and every thought that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God that's in you. How much knowledge do you have? Well, I mean, if it's not very much, well, then you're not going to have very much to contribute to what you need to contribute to get through what you need to get through. Casting down imaginations and every thought that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And then he said, in bringing into captivity, what? Every thought. Every thought to what? To the obedience of Christ. Well, we need to control our thinking, don't we? Our thinking gets us in trouble. We start thinking, oh, the economy's bad. We're going to lose this and that and whatever. I mean, listen, God's bigger than all that. And it's just stuff anyway. God can bless you beyond. You know, I'm not going to get into this, but the story of Job, I know there's parts of this that people have never read. But, you know, he lost everything at the very beginning. His family, his money, he lost everything. But as you read in the scripture, it says, that which he greatly feared came upon him. There was something missing in his life. And Satan found out what it was. It was fear. You can't have faith and fear at the same time. And so Satan got permission to come in and take everything he had. The good thing is that Job stood strong. I think he learned a major lesson at the very end. God gave him twice as much as what he had before. I'm just telling you, we can't operate in fear and doubt and unbelief and have a relationship with God. I mean, these are things that if you have to work on it, then let's work on it. Amen. But when you come to church, you'll be looking for people. Is there anybody sick here? I want to lay hands on them. I'm serious. Whenever I go to the hospital or whatever, if there's someone next to the person I'm praying for, sometimes they'll even ask, well, could you pray for me too? I mean, whenever you got that mindset, I mean, you've got a responsibility that you want to fulfill for God. You want to lay hands on people. You want to pray for people. You want to guide them if you possibly can. Some area of their life if they're having difficulties. It's wonderful serving God. How many believe that? If you believe that, stand to your feet. Serving God is a wonderful thing. It really is. Amen. I get so excited about what God is doing in our lives. And boy, Margaret and I, we're both the same about this. We know how faithful God is, but we've got to be faithful doing what we know that we're supposed to do. And that is build that relationship. Build it. Spend time. You know, I was thinking of Stephen. Stephen, I was thinking of you because your office is where I can see you in there at your office, and I'm keeping a big eye on you. Amen. Yeah, well, Jennifer told me to, you know. But I think of the times of what Stephen was going through years back. And it wasn't just me. It was God would remind me at different times, you need to text him or call him or whatever. And because he wasn't in church at that time, he was going through all kinds of stuff. And the thought sometimes will come to you, well, I've done that and it seems like nothing's working. Listen, God's always working. Stephen, you know I never gave up on you. And look where he's at today. And so I looked in there. I look into his office and man, he's got his Bible open. He's got the Word of God and commentaries and everything. He's got them there on his desk and he's just reading and studying. Listen, God's going to honor that. But is the hunger growing in your heart? Now he's talking about, he said, I can't wait to get in there and feed those homeless people, you know. They have needs. Or I can't wait to go do this. He's involved in missions and whatever. That's what God will do to you. It's not about you anymore. It's about God's will for your life.